I want us to think about just one statement from today's readings. Seems very simple, and yet, when we delve deep into it, it's saying something very deep. Simple statement, here it is. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now really, there's nothing too dramatic or revolutionary about that statement. In fact, we are here to worship because we believe Jesus is Lord. And I'm sure our own personal confession is exactly that. Jesus is Lord. But here is what we are called to think about. That if we believe what we believe, we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. What it points to us today, today's readings, what they point to us is simply that the Holy Spirit is the most crucial factor in the existence of the church. The church is totally, completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. We may not have this in our consciousness always, but without the Holy Spirit, the church is nothing. The point is further emphasized by today's gospel reading. Jesus breathes on the disciples and says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Those whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Those whose sins you retain are retained." Meaning what? We wouldn't know God's forgiveness, but for the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to the disciples. Not only forgiveness and God's presence, but St. Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, "For we do not know how to pray." Is that true? If I had to ask you, you would say, "Well, at least I can say the Hail Mary. I can say the Our Father. If nothing else, we can say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can do that." We think we know how to pray, but St. Paul would say even that prayer, we do not really know, but it's the Spirit of God that prays within us with sighs too deep for words. Even the most simple yearning for God is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The very beginning of Christianity, the very, very, very beginning of Christianity took place in the womb of a virgin. And how did that happen? Because the Holy Spirit came with power upon Mary. So today, more than anything else, we are being invited to enter into this deep consciousness of the absolute dependence of each one of us and of the church upon the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to do is give you a very brief catechesis on why the Holy Spirit is indispensable. And I want to do this in 3 points, my usual 3 points. The first, I want to talk about the Eucharist. Now, if I had to ask you, when I say Eucharist or Mass, what is the one thing that comes to our mind? When I say Mass or Eucharist, what is the one thing that comes to our mind? Anybody? Huh? Communion? What else? Jesus? Anything else? What is it that we need for Mass to take place? Holy Spirit? It takes what? I'm sorry, I'm unable to hear you. Thanks to God, sure, because Eucharist means Thanksgiving. What about the bread and wine? What about the bread and wine? Right? Okay. Now, or sometimes we think about a long-winded sermon. Or a lousy canter? No. Most of the time, especially if I had to ask the kids, what is it that's necessary for the Holy Spirit? They'll say bread and wine. We did get a right answer here today, though. But what is the bread and wine without the Holy Spirit? Here is the prayer that the priest prays at the Eucharist that I want you to pay attention to. This part of the Mass is called the epiclesis. Epiclesis is a Greek word which means calling out or invoking. It means calling out to the Father to send the Holy Spirit to accomplish an action that human beings cannot perform. So at the Eucharist, what is it that we do? We bring the bread and the wine, we place it on the altar. Now, I don't have a magic wand in my hand that says, okay, here, this is the body and blood of Christ. No. I invoke the Holy Spirit, the Father, to send the Holy Spirit who transforms the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And here is the prayer. And during today's Mass, when it comes to the epiclesis, I will remind you so that we understand this even better. And so, Father, we bring you these gifts. We ask you to make them holy by the power of your Spirit so that they may become the body and blood of Christ. And the moment the priest says that, with his hands extended over the gift, that's the moment we believe the Holy Spirit transforms the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. That moment is the moment of our salvation. Because of that moment, you and I leave from this church with the real presence of Christ. Bottom line, without the Holy Spirit, there is no real presence of Christ for us. How important is that? Second, the sacrament of reconciliation. Once again, the moment we say sacrament of reconciliation, what is it that comes to our minds? Our sins. And in all humility, that's what we come to the sacrament of reconciliation for, because we are burdened, right? Because we have failures, we come before our God. Now, hear what Jesus said to the disciples in today's gospel reading. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained." Now, something revolutionary is taking place here, okay? This is very important to understand the sacrament of reconciliation. Forgiveness is God's prerogative. God forgives. It's God's authority, God's realm, God's power. But on that day, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he does something revolutionary. What is God's, he gives it to human beings. The authority that belongs only to God, he says, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven." The emphasis is not on the apostles. That is not what we should focus on. What we should focus on are the words, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Because of the Holy Spirit, the priest can be there, or the representative can be there, and the representative only becomes the mediator for the forgiveness the Holy Spirit brings. In other words, without the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness of sins. And what would we be without forgiveness? So I want to read for you the prayer that the priest says in absolution over the penitent. Hear this. God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you have reconciled the world to yourself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace. May God grant you pardon. I don't give the pardon. May God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from all your sins. So point number one, without the Holy Spirit, there is no real presence of Christ. Point number two, without the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness of sins. Third, I want to talk a little about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, how does a community know that it has the Holy Spirit? Or how do people outside the community know that this community has the Holy Spirit? And why am I saying this? Because on the Feast of the Pentecost, dramatic things happened. First of all, fire came down and it parted and rested on the apostles. One. Secondly, they began to speak in tongues. And when they spoke in tongues, people from different parts of the world heard it in their own language. So how cool would it be that I would be speaking in Hindi now, which is my mother tongue, and you would understand it in English? That'd be pretty cool, huh? Now, in the Corinthian community from which today's second reading is taken, there was something very funny going on. People began to receive many gifts. Some received the gift of tongues, some received the gift of prophecy, some received the gift of healing, some received the gift of wisdom, and people began to fight. Some began to say, I have the gift of tongues, I have the Holy Spirit. Others said, listen, keep that to yourself, I have the gift of prophecy, I'm better than you. And then they said, what are you guys talking about? I got the gift of healing. Watch. Boom. Miracle. Well, I got the gift of healing. And people began to fight about the gifts. And St. Paul wanted to put an end to this controversy. So he says two things to the people. First, he says, every gift is given for the benefit of the common good. In other words, a gift is not given to a person for them to become pompous and to shout about. It is for the good of the community. So the gift of tongues is the least desirable of gifts. Why? Because it benefits the person. I can speak in tongues. You don't understand it. What is the benefit to you? Secondly, he says, in chapter 13 of Corinthians, he says, meanwhile, there are three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. How do people outside know that this parish has the gift of the Holy Spirit? Not through tongues, may not be through prophecy, may not be through healing. You can have all these things, St. Paul says, but if this community did not have love, forget the Holy Spirit. Forget the Holy Spirit. The greatest of these is love. So, as we celebrate this Eucharist, first, we thank God for the gift of God's real presence to the Holy Spirit. We thank God for the gift of forgiveness, but then God gives us a challenge. If we believe we have the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says, please go and live a life of love. Very soon, my dear friends, here we will have the bread and wine. Somebody will bring up the gifts. We place it over here. All of us together, praying over these gifts, Lord, your Holy Spirit. Very soon, we will take that presence of Christ, the real presence of Christ, and get out into the world. That is where Christ will become alive through you and me. People in the city should know tomorrow that something special happened here. There was a new Pentecost here. That depends on you and me. So we are sent forth. Yes, we go. We go. We go filled with the presence of God. Amen. We go filled with the presence of God. Is that the Holy Spirit? Okay, let's say amen. People of God said,
amen.
We are going to renew our vows. We're going to renew our baptismal promises. So let's do that filled with the Spirit of God.